I watch him pull on some boxes before he leaves the room, my eyes nailed to his solid back until he disappears. I relax and think forward to tonight. I need a good drink to numb myself of feeling. And that's just what I plan to do.
Chapter 46. I sit in the kitchen trying not to think about Ava upstairs getting ready for her night out. Lots of women together backed up with lots of alcohol. And one of them gave birth 6 weeks ago, and according to Sam, is champing at the bit for a night of freedom since she's finished 6 weeks of breastfeeding. I forced myself to agree. I'm regretting it now. Grabbing my phone, I dial Ava's mother. "What's wrong?" she answers in greeting. "Nothing's wrong." My face twists. "What are you up to tonight?" I ask, all casual, catching the kids' eyes, where they're sitting at the island finishing off their dinner. They know my game. I raise my finger to my lips, a sign to keep my secret. "I'm out," Elizabeth declares. "Bridge and cocktails." "Fuck it." "Okay, have a lovely time." I hang up and beat the marble worktop with my fingertips thinking. Ah! I quickly dial John. "Hey, big man," I chirp down the line. "No." His gruff, flat reply has me frowning. "What?" "It's Raya's hen night. No, I won't watch the kids so you can stalk your wife." I snarl. "Some friend you are. Fuck you. Have you heard from Sarah?" My mood plummets further. "No. Why? Should I have?" "Just checking. I'm hoping she's gonna fuck off soon, because frankly, I'm sick of looking at her miserable face." I flinch on Sarah's behalf. "Tell her to go, John." "I can't do it. I fucking tried, but your damn Uncle Carmichael is in my ear like an annoying fucking gnat telling me to do right by her, or he'll haunt my motherfucking ass." I smile a little, but I'm mad too. "You owe her nothing. Uncle Carmichael owes her nothing." "Tell that to a dead man," he grunts, hanging up. I fall into thought, going back to my past briefly. Then I catch the kids giving me wary looks. "What?" "Don't do it, Dad," Maddie sing-songs. "She'll tear your head off and use it as a football." "You'll regret it," Jacob warns. Scowling at my kids, I march out of the kitchen and head upstairs to where Ava's getting ready. So what am I supposed to do? Sit home all night, worrying to death? I find her in her underwear, standing in the mirror. I groan. What's she trying to do to me? "You look lovely," I grunt, slumping my ass on the bed. She looks at me in reflection, a smile playing at the corners of her nude lips as she tweaks her hair into position. I'm not dressed yet. I shrug, pouting like a moody schoolboy. "You still look lovely. You come to mark me?" I look to the door, hearing the kids in the kitchen downstairs. My scope for marking is limited. "What do you think of this?" I return my eyes to Ava, finding her holding up a little black dress. I just shake my head, negative. "What about this?" A green thing appears, and once again I reject it. She sighs, sweeping her arm out to the wardrobe. "Choose a dress. Any dress." "Good. She's getting the hang of this." It takes me 5 seconds flat to find something suitable. A high-necked, long-sleeved, full-length jersey dress. "Perfect," I declare. "I'm not wearing that." The dress is snatched from my hand and put back in the rail. She quickly takes another down and goes back to the bedroom. "And stop sulking." "Well, you're not wearing that either," I call, trudging after her. She's pulling the stupid gold thing on by the time I make it to the bedroom, a salacious grin on her face. "Why do you have to be so damn beautiful?" "My wife is a goddess. And I know every other man on the planet must think so too. And in that little gold number, she's a shimmering goddess. Her cheekbones are also shimmering, and her eyes are smoked out, making them smolder madly. They are take-me-to-bed eyes. Don't look any man in the eye, I tell her, falling to the chair in the corner of our bedroom. I'm slumped, moody, I can't help it. She wanders over and slowly turns, looking over her shoulder at me. With my chin still low, I lift my gaze, dragging it over her exposed back until I reach her eyes. Zip me up? No, I grunt, eliciting a cute twitch of her lips. Please? It's a purr, the one that hits my dick and takes it from semi-erect to rock. Why are you doing this to me? It's a serious question. Just look at her, this beauty, still in her prime, glowing before me like some otherworldly creature. I've tried to reason with myself all day, told myself she needs to let her hair down and have some time with her girlfriends, yet that primal, possessive streak in me has only grown by the hour. And now I'm in two minds whether I'd get away with bolting her to the bed. I ponder that for a second, thoughtful, my head tilting as I weigh up the option. I'd get away with it. There's nothing she could do to stop me. Don't even think about it, Ward. Her tone is warning, and ignored. I love how she reads my mind. And what will you do about it? Divorce. She points to her back again as my jaw drops. Zip me up. No. Fine, I'll get Kate to do it when she gets here. She saunters off, all strut and arse. I'm out of the chair like lightning, and I've captured her before she makes it to the door. Jessie! She squeals as I throw her over my shoulder and backtrack to the bed. It doesn't escape my notice that her screech of my name was more laughed than angrily yelled. She was prepared for my trample. Flipping her on the bed, I pull off my t-shirt and capture her wrists, pinning her down, straddling her stomach. She blows some stray wisps of hair from her face and blinks up at me. And she smiles. She knows what's coming. I get her hands under my knees to secure them and pull my cock from my shorts. Tell me you love me, I demand, my voice already displaying the hunger in me. I love you. She complies in a heartbeat and I smile. Tell me you only have eyes for me. I pull a long stroke down my shaft, watching her as she watches me. I only have eyes for you. She licks her lips, flipping her gaze up. Fuck, you look lethally sexy when you get yourself off. Watch your mouth. I drop one hand to the mattress, slowly starting to pump my fist, electric energy sizzling all over my skin. And I dip, taking her mouth greedily. It doesn't take me long to find my rhythm, my body stiff with pleasure. Dad! Mum! Everyone is here! Maddie's yell hits my hearing like a foghorn, followed by the sound of her feet pounding the stairs. No! 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 Fuck! I drop my cock, hissing when it springs back and hits my lower stomach. You have to be fucking kidding me! Quick! Ava starts scrambling off the bed as I rearrange my shorts, sitting on the edge to conceal my mammoth erection behind the thin material. I'm sweating and not without worry. I feel like an unexploded bomb, motherfucker! My baby girl lands in the bedroom full of excitement. Betty's here too! Her face drops when she finds me on the edge of the bed. What are you so grumpy about? Nothing, I all but bark. Ava chuckles and puts herself in front of me, indicating her zip again. We'll be down in a tick. She looks over her shoulder and raises her perfect brows. Once your dad has zipped me up. I pout, taking the fastener and slowly pulling it up. I'm not happy, I declare, making sure my displeasure is voiced no matter how plain it is on my face. You'll pay for this later. Yeah, yeah. She breezes out of the room, leaving me to talk my dick down and get my t-shirt back on. Torture. Fucking torture. I make my way downstairs once I'm decent, wandering into the kitchen to find the whole gang there. Sam has Betty suspended from his arm in her car seat and Maddie is cooing over her. Drew was helping himself to a beer and the girls are in a gaggle by the island, praising each other's dresses. "What's crawled up your ass?" Drew asks, handing me a beer as I dump myself down on a stool. I don't need to tell them. Sam laughs, followed by Drew. Everyone in my life knows how bad I struggle. I tip the bottle to my lips and almost spit out my beer when Kate swooshes around to face me. "Fucking hell," I choke, wiping up my mouth. Her strapless dress is a decent length, to the knee, but her boobs are a bench under her chin. I blink rapidly and look away, finding Sam. He's okay with that. I cock my head and question, but he just smiles, studying Kate's epic rack. If we can keep them, that will be fine by me. He places Betty's car seat on the island, joining me on the next stool. "Too much?" Kate asks, pulling her red tresses over her front so they splay on her chest. Rhea laughs, pouring wine into three glasses. Now Rhea, she looks perfectly presentable. Her long-sleeved dress scooping her neck at an acceptable level, the black material a stark contrast to her light blonde hair. My approval is short-lived. She turns away, revealing the back, or lack of it. Her entire back is exposed, all the way down to her ass. I sigh, wondering if it's that unreasonable side everyone's always telling me I have, or if it's simply age. "Easy on the wine," I grunt, waving my bottle at Rhea as she dishes out the glasses. She smiles as she takes her first sip. "You're not going to invade my hen night, are you?" I scowl, casting my eyes to my supposed mates. Neither of them look at me. No. I would, if I had someone to watch the kids while I invade. "Good." Kate chinks the girl's glasses. "I've done 6 weeks breastfeeding. My nipples can't take any more. I'm going to get so pissed." She looks at Sam, who rolls his eyes, though doesn't refute her intention. "If I'm still standing, by the time I get home, I want you to slap me to the ground." She takes a glug of wine. "Because I'll feel like an underachiever if I'm not flat on my face." I'm coughing again, looking to my mate to sort her out. But again, all I get is a roll of his eyes. This is ridiculous. Wine, the dresses, the talk of getting plastered. I rack my brain for someone, anyone, who I could call on to pop over and watch the kids. I come up blank. Maybe I could take them with me. A little adventure around London. Drew nudges me in the side, his lips straight. "They'll be fine." Easy for him to say. Am I the only one who's worried? Someone needs to stop this circus. I value my life too much. Drew slaps my shoulder with a firm thwack, making my teeth chink in the top of my bottle. "Come on then, girls!" Clapping his hands, he starts rounding them up, herding them to the front door. "She'll be fine, Dad!" Jacob appears by my side, offering up his jar of the good stuff. I strain a smile at the cute little fucker and plunge my finger into the pot. "I know, mate," I say, if only to reassure him. "She'll be fine." How many times have I told myself that over the years? And look what happened. "I wish I could go." Maddie's statement has the lick of my finger faltering, my alarmed eyes looking down at my girl. Christ, that's a whole other form of stress. The thought alone sends me cold, or colder than I already am. Now I really wouldn't think twice about locking my baby girl in a cupboard. "Not until you're 50, I tell her, following Sam out of the kitchen, softening when I catch sight of Betty sleeping peacefully in her car seat. Seems like only yesterday that my two were that big. Where has the time gone? The kids race upstairs to their rooms, while I head to the door. I catch Ava before she steps out of the house, pulling her back. The look on her glowing face is a sure sign that she's ready for me. She looks bored. Crowding her, I kiss her cheek. "Don't talk to strangers." "I won't." "Put your belt on in the car." "I will." She reaches up on her tippy toes and kisses my cheek. "Drink safely." Yes, sir. Sit down if you feel woozy.
Okay.
Call me if you need me. Pulling back, she smiles, stroking my cheek affectionately.
I'll be fine.
Why does everyone keep saying that? Answer me when I text you. I'm annoying her now, though she continues to humor me.
I will.
Good girl. I smother her with my lips, my arms refusing to let her go. Have a good time. I sigh and force myself to release her. The anxiety inside me, it's never gone, but now it seems to be worse than ever. I love you.
I know.
She dances off to Drew's car. I'm dropping them off and picking them up, Drew says. He knows I need to hear that. We'll call you when we're on our way home. I nod and quickly shut the door before I give in to temptation and race after her to drag her back to the house. The ache inside me may be unreasonable and my mood overboard, but after we've been through what we've been through, I don't think it'll ever leave me. It's a curse, a weight around my neck, but I mustn't let it pull me under. Chapter 47. I have not one hope of sleeping until she's home. So I sit on the couch, flicking the channels restlessly and constantly checking my Rolex. The call I've been waiting for finally comes at 1 in the morning. I scramble to answer it and listen to Drew tell me they're all drunk but safe and that he's on the way to drop off Ava. A huge weight lifts from my shoulders, and for the first time this evening I relax. And then I do something utterly stupid. I race upstairs, strip, and hop into bed, turning off the lamp. Because, of course, she'll believe that I've been sleeping peacefully while she's been out tearing up the town. It's almost 30 minutes later when I hear the front door close, and a few moments after that, the sound of her shoes hits the tile floor. Then, silence. I fight the urge to go down and find her. She's home, she's safe, nothing can happen to her now. Then I hear a bang, and I'm like a bullet out of our bed, pulling my shorts on as I fly down the stairs. I crash into the kitchen and find it empty. Ava! I call, backing up, listening. Nothing. My heart rate shifts a few gears. Ava! My attempt not to sound frantic isn't working. Ava! Where the hell are you? I hurry down the hall, peeking in every room, finding them all empty. Until I arrive at the family room, I breathe out when I see her standing at the foot of our wall. Baby? She doesn't turn, just raises a finger to a picture of us on our wedding day, and traces the edge of my face. I remembered something earlier. She's slurring. She's definitely slurring. Drunk. Plastered, maybe. But she had a flashback. Turning her eyes onto me, heavy eyes, drunk eyes, she points at my bare chest. You stole my birth control pills. Ah. Guilty. As charged. I hold my finger to my nose, trying to think of a way to wriggle out of this. Of all the things she could have remembered, stole is a very harsh word. There's no way out. What word would you use then? Her bare feet are treading the carpet. Do you need the toilet? Or is she starting to stagger? Don't change the subject. Her mumbled words are getting hard to decipher. Why'd you steal them? This again. I force my eye roll into hiding and go collect her before she face plants on the carpet. Lifting her into my arms, I take her up to bed. Because I was madly in love with you, and I thought you'd leave me when you found out my dirty little secrets. Her scoff takes some effort. You mean your sex club? And the fact you're an alcoholic? And the fact that you were a man whore? Yes, all of that, I say, taking the stairs. And a whole pile of other shit, too. Now, are you done? I had a wonderful night. She sings, throwing her head back and her arms up, forcing me to shift my hold or risk her tumbling from my arms. I guess that's a yes. And you know what? She levels a straight face on me. Do I want to know? What?
I fancy you so much,
she mumbles, her head falling onto my shoulder.
I should hope so.
Why, because you're my husband?
No, because I'm fucking hot.
A hysterical bout of laughter erupts and I'm forced to shush her before she wakes the kids. Too late. We meet a sleepy-looking pair when we get to the top of the stairs.
Go back to bed,
I tell them as they mirror each other, rubbing at their drowsy eyes. Mum's just a little drunk.
A little?
Jacob looks as disapproving as I feel, though Maddie seems amused.
I'm a lot drunk,
Ava declares, wriggling free of my arms. I grumble as I set her on her feet, holding her arm tightly.
And I love you too.
Oh, God. Maddie cringes when Ava lavishes her with affection.
Mum, please.
You're the best things that's ever happened to me. She turns her attention onto an alarmed Jacob. Don't tell Dad that, my boy quips dryly, letting Ava do what she's going to do.
I think it's your bedtime, Mum.
I think so, too. She pulls Jacob into her chest and squeezes him, his cheeks all squished against her chest.
You're just as handsome as your dad.
I know, he mumbles, rolling his eyes at me. Maddie can't contain her amusement, chuckling to herself.
Come on.
I claim my drunken wife before she makes even more of a show of herself, flicking my head to the kids for them to go back to bed. Their smiles are fond as I walk Ava to the bedroom, her steps clumsy.
In you get.
I unzip the back of her dress and lower her to the sheets. She proceeds to writhe around the bed.
Keep still.
Are you going to fuck me, Jesse Ward?
I'll scream real loud.
Behave, lady, I chuckle, dragging the gold material down her body and casting it aside. Underwear. Her arms catapult upward, landing on the pillows.
Strip me bare.
I did that years ago. Right down to your soul. She quiets down a little, squinting to look at me.
I missed you tonight.
Good. When she's down to just her skin, I remove my shorts and climb in beside her, ignoring the stench of alcohol oozing from her pores. I remain still while she finds her favorite place in my chest, flopping down heavily on a deep sigh. I wrap her in my arms and smile to myself as her breathing becomes shallow.
And now I'll miss you while I'm asleep.
Her murmured words are just what I need to hear. She's glad to be back with me. Chapter 48. Ava had a terrible hangover the next day. I was smug. Couldn't help it. But a few days later, she still looked washed out. Of course, I put the call into a doctor to check I wasn't missing something, and he assured me all was well. Just something going around, apparently. She's now been laid up for nearly a week, though she managed to go to yoga yesterday. I was skeptical, but she insisted. I even let her go for a coffee with that new friend of hers. See? I can be reasonable. I look at the kids as they eat their breakfast, thinking they look a little pasty too. Or am I being paranoid? You two feeling okay? I ask. They both nod, barely even looking at me, their eyes glued to their iPads instead. I wander over and snatch the tablets from their hands, earning a couple of disgruntled moans. Shower! We have Uncle Drew's wedding to go to. They grumble, both dragging their feet as they go. Good little children, I smirk, as they both give me the death stare before they disappear. Ava's phone rings, and I swipe it up from the side table, looking at the screen as I make my way upstairs to check on my wife. Zara, I muse, connecting the call. Time for me to introduce myself to this new friend. Hi! I hear a few rustles and then the phone goes dead. I frown down at the screen as a text message lands. Call me when you're free. Just checking how you're feeling. I take the liberty of answering for Ava. It's Jesse, Ava's husband. We're on our way to a wedding. I'll get her to call you tomorrow. Ah, the famous husband. I've heard lots about you. Winky face. Did she just fucking wink at me? I give the phone a dubious glare, wondering what exactly Ava's been telling her that warrants a wink. I don't know, but I make a mental note to ask. I'm surprised when I find Ava sitting in front of the mirror, straightening her hair. You look perkier. I chuck her phone in the bed and lower to the floor behind her, framing her with my knees, shifting in close until my groin is wedged up close to her lower back. Your yoga friend just texted you. I told her you'd call her tomorrow.
You read and answered my message? She asks in shock.
Yes. I show no remorse because I have none. So what have you been telling this Zari about me? Ava's eyes narrow playfully as she sweeps her cheeks with a makeup brush, adding a glow to her cheekbones. That you're a god, that you're possessive, unreasonable, and controlling, but it's all because you love me with every bone in your body. And every drop of blood in my veins, I add, giving her a devilish smirk. But it falls when I notice she doesn't return it. She's looking pensive. Hey, what's up? Is she worried about the wedding? The public appearance in front of so many people? I don't think it could be that. She seemed okay this past week, her bug aside. Sometimes quiet, but that's to be expected. I've gotten used to her losing herself in her thoughts every now and then, concluding that she's trying to recall something. There have been no monumental breakthroughs in her memories. We've just kind of fallen back into life, and it's been good, relatively normal, aside from the odd things she forgets every now and then. According to a doctor, that's normal too. I can't deny, though, I still feel so uncertain about so many things. Yet one thing I'm sure of is our beautiful, unrelenting love. But love isn't always beautiful. Sometimes it's tragic. Most of the time, it's tragic. It cuts you up, tears you apart, fucking suffocates you. But it's the only thing that can put you back together again. It's a sadistic bastard, as well as the most enriching, comforting thing in this world. And that's what I've survived on. My love. Our love. Because if I've learned anything, it's that time stops for no one. Life continues, no matter if you're happy with where yours has been or where it is heading. You can't stop it. You just have to tilt the scale and make it the best it can be. Change the direction towards somewhere you want to go. And that's exactly what I've done. And I thought I'd done a good job, so why is she looking so unsure all of a sudden? Placing a makeup brush on the floor, she stares at me in the mirror, biting her lip, thinking. Is it your head? I ask. Do you still feel off? Oh, shit. Has she had a breakthrough and not told me? Maybe because she's shocked, horrified, or worse still, questioning why she's in this marriage. Piles and piles of reasons for her despondency all land on me at once, and I filter through the barrage, trying to dwindle it down to anything obvious. I'm pregnant. Everything except that. There's some kind of blockage happening between my brain and mouth, rendering me unable to speak. Pregnant? How? The blockage suddenly dislodges, and I immediately start shaking like a motherfucker, my body cold. I'm sorry, what? Her eyes, sharp but cautious, study me in the reflection. I am pregnant. This time she spells it out, as if I didn't catch the bombshell the first time. Pregnant. 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 Pregnant, I finally manage, swallowing hard. How? She shrugs, looking a little timid. The antibiotics, I think. Sometimes they interfere with the pill. Fucking hell. I all but breathe, slapping the ball of my fist into my forehead. The irony doesn't escape me. It doesn't escape Ava either, going by the slight twist of her lips. When we met and she turned my world upside down, I spent weeks sneakily stealing her pills in a wild and reckless mission to get her pregnant to ensure I could keep her forever. It was no accidental pregnancy. Not on my part, anyway. And I wouldn't change a damn thing, either. I adore my kids, wouldn't be without them. But it doesn't mean I want more. I knew you wouldn't take it well. Her soft murmur breaks into the bedlam that is my thoughts. I'm astounded by her calmness. Why isn't she spiraling into meltdown with me? I'm 50, Ava. I get up and start pacing the room. I'm way too old to be a dad again. No, you're not. My wife sounds irked, and I look to find she really is, her face bunched, annoyed. Parents are getting older all the time, she shrugs. At least that's what the midwife said. You've been to the midwife? Without me? When? I got a taxi to the doctor's office after you dropped me at yoga yesterday. I needed to be sure before I gave you the news that I knew would send you into orbit.
Orbit? How about another fucking galaxy? Pregnant? I bark for the sake of it. I can't believe this!
It's really sinking in now. Visions of Kate and Sam's weary faces since Betty arrived popping into my mind. I've done my time. My days of shitty nappies and sleepless nights are done with. Oh, my God! I sputter, marching to the bathroom and punching the shower on, muttering all kinds of nonsensical shit as I strip down. I get under the spray and hope the cold water will wake me up from my nightmare.
You're taking it rather well,
she quips, appearing beyond the shower door, watching me scrub every inch of my body. Ava, let's put this into perspective. I get close to the screen so she can see just how fucking panicked I am. When this baby is 10, I'll be nearly 61. I shudder. Fuck me, I've only just got used to 50. That's a lie. I'm not used to it at all. And in fact, in my mind, I'm still actually 40. 60? I'll blink and it'll be here. The twins will be in university and I'll be taking our youngest to school on a fucking mobility scooter. I want to cry, whereas Ava just sighs, letting me babble on. Good. I have plenty to say. And I'll have to make at least 3 stops on the way to piss because my old bladder won't be able to hold a cup of coffee for longer than 10 minutes. I stagger back, out of breath, half assisted by my panic, half assisted by my spew of words without catching my breath. This is awful. You're being ridiculous. She stalks off, leaving me heaving like a worn-out racehorse, all alone in the cold shower. I have the scan on Tuesday. Come if you want, and if you don't want to, that's fine. Don't think I can't do this on my own. And just like that, I'm snapped out of my meltdown. She'll do it on her own. Without me. I flinch, the thought more than stinging. And then I frown to myself, wondering what on earth has gotten into me. And I think real hard. I think about what the actual issue here is. And it isn't another baby being around. It's me, my issue. That damn fucker called age. That's the problem. That's what's got me all in a pickle. It has nothing to do with being a daddy again, but everything to do with my stupid complex. And maybe another factor is the thought of having another someone to worry about. More anxiety. Fuck. Another person to obsess about will be a strain that could finish me off. My heart speeding more just thinking about it. I breathe in and breathe out, trying to talk myself down. And I think about Ava's face just now. How calm and serene she seemed, even when I tipped the meltdown scales. Fuck. I mumble. Can I do this? I look to the bathroom door. Can I do this for Ava? Good Lord. I have to. I can get over all of my issues because I want my wife to be happy. Especially now. Especially after everything. She needs this. Maybe I do, too. And the kids. Something special and new to focus on. I drag my hands down my scratchy cheeks. God damn you, Ward, I say to myself, stepping out of the shower and grabbing a towel. I have some serious sucking up to do. I feel like a total wanker. Ava, I say timidly, creeping into the dressing room. She has the wide-leg trousers of a navy Ralph Lauren suit on, a cream silk shirt held against her front, and she's watching me. I'm about to launch into my apology, but she beats me to it. We may have laughed about it that time when we visited Betty, but you know what? I'm happy this has happened. I'm thrilled, in fact. Maybe this is just what we need. All of us, me, you, and the kids. A new life to channel our energy and attention on. Something to look forward to. Something to distract us from the shitstorm of the past couple months. She breathes in and shoves her arms through the sleeves of her shirt while I remain still in the doorway, feeling so ashamed. She's thinking the same as me. Though she got there a lot quicker than me, clearly. She's been sitting on this since yesterday. She's been scared to tell me, and I've just demonstrated every reason why. But don't you worry your 50-year-old head, Ward. Reaching out, she yanks the cropped jacket of her suit down and shoves it on, fixing the collar of her blouse. We'll be fine without you. Jesus, enough with the knives to my fucking heart, woman. The first did enough damage. But every man at some time in his life needs putting in his place. And for me, no woman in this planet could ever do it better than my wife. You asked for it. She storms past me, but I just catch her wrist, jolting her to a stop. Both of us silent. I take her by the waist and lift her onto one of the cabinets, muscling my way to between her thighs. Her face is sulky as I claim her hands and put them on my shoulders. Snap out of it. That's rich coming from you. She snorts, flexing her fingers on my wet shoulders, her eyes focused there. I inwardly smile. Imagine life without me, I tell her, and she physically jolts. Not nice, is it? What's your point? My point is you shouldn't say you'll be fine without me, because you won't be, and neither will I without you. She breathes out, exasperated. Anyone would think I just told you I have 1 month to live. Her twitch is immediate, and so is my growl. Sorry, she squeaks, lips pressed together, probably a ploy to stop her saying any more stupid shit. Don't think because you're pregnant I won't slap your ass silly. Wouldn't be the first time, she grunts, and then she gasps, her eyes wide. Oh my God. My head drops back, my eyes closing. Yes, I did that, I confirm. I don't get all excited at this morsel of a memory, and I don't search for more. This is how it is now, how it'll always be, little pieces here and there, and maybe one day in a few hundred years she'll have the whole story. I'm hoping minus a few not-so-pretty parts, like Lauren, and the accident, and the... I let my thoughts trail off there and bat back the growing guilt. I have more important things to think about, especially now. You animal, Ava teases, and I laugh. She never fucking fought me. So what now, then? Now, I say, slowly bending at the waist, keeping our eye contact as I lower my head. Now we have another baby. It's that simple. I drop a kiss on her tummy and take pure pleasure from her happy beam. How could I deny her this? Bottom line, I couldn't. And I won't. When should we tell the twins? She asks, losing her delight for a split second. She's worried. There's no need. I saw Maddie with Betty the other day. She was besotted. And Jacob is so laid back, he's nearly horizontal. They'll be fine. Let's focus on Drew and Rhea for today. I lift her down and drop a light kiss on her forehead. Let's not steal their thunder. She smiles, and her eyes sparkle brightly. It's the sparkle that's been absent for far too long. So I'm going to be a dad again. I roll my naked shoulders and smooth my hair in the mirror. I must be the best-looking 50-year-old dad who ever lived. Chapter 49. The ceremony was beautiful. The small church in a village on the outskirts of the city crammed with white orchids and a few dozen guests. Kate and Ava cried like a pair of babies, and Rhea looked out of this world in a long satin gown. I don't think I've ever seen Drew smile so wide. The man looked like he was walking in clouds the entire service, and little Georgia was grinning from ear to ear. We finally make it to the elaborate tent in a field in the quaint village after being accosted for photographs and ordered into various groups here and there. I'm not surprised when we break through the billowing voile sheets at the entrance to find Sam with a beer in one hand, Betty in the other. Maddie is off like a rocket when she spots Georgia helping to ladle punch into glasses for guests, ever willing to help, and Jacob goes about finding our names and the place cards around the tables. I leave Ava to use the ladies and approach Sam, my eyes nailed to the bundle of joy lying across his left arm. One minute my hands are empty, the next they're full of a baby. I look at Sam alarmed. What are you doing? Just give me a minute. I forgot to bring in Betty's changing bag from the car. He's gone before I can protest, leaving me to fend for myself. Like a big oaf, I carefully negotiate her into the cradle of my arm. So carefully. I'm all nervous. I did this a million times with my own, but that was a long, long time ago. I look down at her adorable little face. Her hair is Kate all over, red and vibrant, even now. But she has Sam's cute nose. She's awake, her hands at her mouth. I remember the signs. She's hungry. And the flakes of skin scattered between the red strands of her hair are signs of cradle cap. I remember that too. I smile, taking my index finger to her cheek and stroking her baby soft skin. A million memories come back to me, times I'd forgotten recently amid the chaos of our lives. The times the twins would lie on my chest and snooze, Ava curled into my side. The times I juggled feeding both of them, getting it down to a fine art. How quickly I figured out that Jacob was more patient than Maddie, so I'd see to her dirty nappy first. The joy I used to get at bath time, watching their little limbs splash the shallow water. And that smell, the smell I couldn't get enough of. Pure, perfect baby scent. It was like a sedative, could send me to sleep. And it often did. Hey, man, you okay? Sam's question rouses me from my reflections, and I pull back my finger from Betty's cheek, coughing my throat clear as I hand her back to her dad. Sam lowers his mouth to his daughter's head. I think Uncle Jesse is getting broody. I scoff for the sake of it to mask our secret. My baby days are done. Total lie. Where's Kate? She's just using the ladies before she finds somewhere quiet to feed Betty. A riotous applause breaks out when Drew and Rhea enter the marquee, all attention turning their way. And when Drew dramatically dips Rhea and kisses the living daylights out of her, the noise ramps up a few thousand decibels. Betty starts squawking, the shrillness piercing the cheers. Oh, fuck. It's dinner time and she's pissed at the noise. Sam heads off to find Kate, and I head to Drew, pulling him away from a playfully scowling Rhea. Your turn in a minute, I assure her cheekily, landing a kiss on my mate's cheek. Congratulations, you great pussy. Fuck you, he laughs, his blue eyes sparkling happily. How's Ava? Pregnant. My head screams the announcement, but my mouth refuses to say it. Not because I don't want to, I kind of do, maybe to get some reassurance from my pals. But because this is Drew and Rhea's day, and the shine shouldn't be taken off of that. She's good. But just you worry about giving your wife the day she deserves. He smiles, looking across to the gorgeous Rhea. A section of her platinum blonde hair plaited and pinned, forming a pretty band across her head, flowers woven throughout. Doesn't she look gorgeous? Drew muses as she joins us, tucking herself neatly into his side. Beautiful, I agree, bending to kiss her cheek before returning my attention to Drew. Hey, do you remember that time when you turned up at my house in a state because you'd made love to a woman? I very nearly have to dip to Mr. Daggers coming at me.
What's that then?
Rhea asks, interested. Nothing, Drew says lowly, his dark stare on me. He knows me too well. For the record, the woman he'd made love to was you.
I'd hope so, she laughs. Since before me, he only fucked with those chains of his.
Drew moans, claiming a glass of water from a tray and placing it in his wife's hand.
Yes, I was a fucker before I met you, and now I'm a lover.
He pecks her lips. You've turned me.
Who's turned who?
Ava asks, joining us. As the waiter passes again, I take a glass of water from the tray and put it in her hand. Rhea turned Drew from a fucker to a master lovemaker. Not dissimilar to you and me. I smile, bright and cheekily. You still fuck, Ward, she says dryly, smiling at Rhea when she laughs, each of them taking a sip of their wort. Hold up. My eyes meet Drew's, and I know we're thinking the exact same thing.
Why isn't your wife indulging in champagne on your wedding day?
I ask.
Why isn't yours?
He retorts.
She's thirsty.
So is Rhea. I feel my lips twitching, prompting Drew's to tweak at the corners too.
Oh my God, Rhea breathes.
Me and Drew are pregnant.
Us too, I yell, way too loudly, earning a knock of my arm from Ava. What the fuck? Drew balks. Oh my God, Rhea sings.
What? Sam asks, scanning us all as he rejoins the group. I look to Drew, to Rhea, and then to Ava and shrug. I'm not leading in this one. Drew sighs, but his smile isn't containable.
We were saving it for after the wedding, but doesn't look like that's happening.
He wraps his arms around Rhea's shoulder.
We're having a baby!
No way! Sam's on them with enthusiasm, knocking Rhea's water all over the place. Congratulations, you two!
Thanks.
Rhea blushes somewhat, pointing her empty glass to us while she wipes down her dress.
And congratulations to Jesse and Ava, too!
Huh? Sam swings around, looking at us in turn.
What are you two celebrating?
I look at Ava. She looks at me. The medication she's on screwed with her pill. Sam is silent for a few uncomfortable seconds, looking between us, and then he falls apart, hands on his knees and everything.
Fuck, Jesse! Say hello to karma!
My situation makes me the laughingstock of the whole group, including my wife, who reaches for my face and gives it a sarcastic pat.
Poor baby.
Be quiet. I've got my head around it now.
Head around what?
Kate asks, handing Betty to a laughing Sam. He just can't contain himself, jerking his girl in his arms as he wipes at his tears.
Rhea's pregnant, he tells her.
Oh God, you guys, Kate gushes.
And so is Ava.
What the fuck? She swings around, blue eyes wide, her red hair whipping her face.
See?
Ava chucks a heavy hand in the air. This is exactly why I didn't want to tell anyone today. Now I feel like I've stolen two lots of thunder. Rhea muscles me out of the way and puts a comforting arm around Ava's waist.
Are you kidding me? I can't wait to be expecting with you. You're a pro. I'm going to need all the help I can get.
I could kiss the woman. She couldn't have said a nicer thing at a better time.
We'll be the baby club, Kate sings, delighted.
We haven't told the twins yet. That worry I don't like passes over Ava's face. Everyone looks across to the drinks table, where Jacob is cracking the caps off bottles of beer for the men, and Georgia and Maddie are still happily pouring punch. Does Georgia know? I ask.
Yes.
Rhea beams. She's more excited than Drew, Here's to babies,
Sam whisper hisses, raising his glass as he bends toward us.
To babies, we all chant quietly, leaning into our little circle and laughing.
Good food, good company, amazing venue, superb occasion. It's been a fucking brilliant day, everyone together, and after Drew and Rhea have had their first dance to Eric Clapton's Wonderful Tonight, the other guests are invited onto the floor to join them. I look across the table to Ava, her attention split between the happy couple and Betty sleeping in Kate's arms. It's how she's been all day, distracted. She's imagining our family with one more person. I am too. The song fades off and another begins. My heart skips too many beats as Ava darts her eyes across to me, and I wonder if this is a purposeful move on Drew's part. I shoot him a look on the dance floor, his expression telling me everything. My eyes thank him as I slowly return my gaze to my wife, my heart booming nervously. I smile when I find her still watching me, and I nod mildly, telling her that the recognition happening in her head is right. I rise to my feet and walk slowly around the table, holding out my hand to Ava as Chasing Cars plays. If you have no better offers, I raise a cocky eyebrow, blinded by her shy smile as she gets to her feet. Never will. I walk her onto the floor, nodding at Drew to tell him today is a job well done, as I pull Ava into my chest, one arm around her shoulders, my spare hand resting on her waist. Hey, Mummy, I whisper down at her, starting to slowly sway us. Hey, Daddy. I feel an overwhelming sense of contentment flourish inside me. It tells me that this is right. I won't ever argue with the fates, and the fates want to give us another baby. I love you, woman, I say, pulling her closer, her head settling in my chest. I rest mine atop of hers, continuing to move slowly on the spot, taking an age to turn a full circle. So you'll be there on Tuesday, for the scan. Just try to stop me, I smile into her hair. And when do you want to tell the kids? I don't want them to think I'm replacing them or replacing the memories of their baby days with new ones. Don't be daft. They'd never think that. I feel her chest press against mine, her inhale long and deep, as I catch the twins across the way watching us. Both of them are smiling, Jacob with his arm around his sister. Me and Ava, we make them happy, just being together. I flick my head at them, ordering them over. I expect a protest, but neither does. In fact, they're quite speedy across the floor. We have company, I say to Ava, gently nudging her from my chest. She looks around and finds them, smiling and opening one arm as she keeps her hold of me with the other, inviting them in. Maddie and Jacob join us, and our little huddle continues to turn on the spot. Mine and Ava's heads above the twins, her eyes on mine. Love. It's blasting through me unstoppably, light in my veins, warming my soul. This is just about fucking perfect. And then Ava reaches across and presses a kiss to my mouth. A soft kiss. A lingering kiss. And I'm proven wrong. Now this is perfect. And it's the perfect time to share our news. Maddie, Jacob, I say, pulling both the little faces up from their hiding places. Your mum and I have something to tell you. Ava's eyes widen a fraction, but I make sure she sees the reassurance in mine. What? The kids ask in unison, heads swinging back and forth to me and Ava. What is it? Jacob's face falls. Is Mum okay? Are you okay, Mum? I'm fine, darling. She kisses his head and he settles immediately. Trust me, I'm so fine. Then what's up? I breathe in and release our announcement on a stream of air. There's going to be another someone for me to go crazy over.
frowns. Two very deep frowns, and Ava laughs, though doesn't correct me.
What your dad means is, she takes over, clearly thinking she can break the news better than I can.
I'm having a baby. She holds her breath, waiting for their reactions. Please, guys, don't go off the deep end.
A baby? Jacob asks, flipping a frown to me. Like a little brother or sister.
I don't mention the fact that I'm praying, proper praying, that it's a boy, because any more women in my life will be the death of me.
That's right.
They're quiet, obviously mulling over the bombshell, and then chasing cars fades to nothing and it's silent except for the light chatter around us.
Good Lord, they need to say something quick before Ava has a meltdown.
A baby, Maddie hums.
A baby? Jacob tilts his head, ever the one to really ponder things.
Then they look at each other and grin. And they laugh. They laugh so fucking hard. Ava and I toss bewildered looks at each other, silently asking one another if we have any clue what's so funny. We don't, so I ask, what's tickled you two?
Oh my God, Dad, you're so old!
Maddie chuckles. I've never sworn at my kids, not ever, and it's taking everything in me, and then some, not to break that rule now. Ava doesn't help when she snorts unattractively, holding her hand over her nose. But Jacob, God bless my boy, comes straight to me and shakes my hand.
Congratulations, Dad.
I have to swallow before I speak.
Cheers, mate.
I could cuddle him as he throws his arms around his mum and hugs her with force.
I love you, Mum.
Fuck me. I blink to keep the tears at bay, but Ava doesn't manage to. She's full on crying as she pulls Maddie in too, her face going straight between their heads. I love you both so much. I'm a big, fat mess of a man. Totally fucked. And I don't care who sees as I haul my family into me. My life is held in my hands in this moment. My wife, my babies, and a new life.
Chapter 50. As I drive Ava to her appointment on Tuesday, my mind is reeling with constant questions. Should we tell Dr. Peters about the pregnancy? Are the risks higher given her condition? She's forgetting things all the while. Small things, but still things. Will she need another CAT scan? And will it risk the baby's health if she does? And her age? Not that I would ever mention that to Ava. She's not in her 20s anymore. My head begins to ache.
Stop it, Ava says across the car, looking at me like she knows what I'm thinking. She undoubtedly does.
My wife can read me like a book. Now, given the dam holding back her memories, I'm even more amazed at her ability.
Her hand lands on my thigh. I breathe out deeply and squeeze her fingers.
Why don't you tell me about our first scan with the twins? She suggests, clearly trying to distract me from my worry.
It works.
My sharp bout of laughter fills the car.
That moment, the lack of feeling in my legs when the doctor pointed to two heartbeats, and I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. But my amusement fades when I remember how we came to be in hospital having an unscheduled scan, a scan to check if my babies were still alive. My stomach turns, endless flashbacks assaulting my mind. Ava's accident, my stolen car, the sight of blood trickling down her bare leg. I shudder. And I know Ava feels it because she shifts in her seat, facing me, looking at my disposition with a roadmap of lines on her forehead.
What is it, Jesse? You're white as a sheet.
Nothing.
Shit. I need to pull myself around.
I summon a smile to reassure her. There will be no mention of my stolen car or how the driver ran Ava off the road. That was the beginning of the events that would lead to the worst moments of our lives. She doesn't need that information. Not now, maybe never.
The day of our first scan, I muse. refocusing my attention on the road. You didn't know I was a twin back then.
I didn't?